Okay, today we read from Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 14. Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 14. Okay, today we read from Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 14. Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 14. And Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable, and he said, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean." And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness, and all these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." So Jesus is in fact saying, it is not, the saying should not be, "You are what you eat." Or as the Pharisees would have it, what you eat is who you are. In this wonderful world we live in, with all sorts of dietary options, there's all sorts of judgment based on what you eat. Are you paleo? Are you keto? Are you vegan? Are you vegetarian? Are you all sorts of other ways of eating? I'm sure there's probably over 100 different ways that you could design your diet. And each one comes with its own set of judgment. You know, what is good, what is not, what is healthy, what is not, what is helpful, what is not, you know, all of these things. And so we have to live in this system. And the Pharisees were looking at a system of rules and regulations regarding food that they had lived with since God had them out wandering in the wilderness. They had all of these different rules and regulations that many of them God had set up himself in order that when they encountered people who ate differently and who did different things, that they would understand that God had set them apart, that they were not to eat like everybody else, that they were to be obedient to what God said and follow the rules and regulations he had set up for them. And Jesus comes along and says, you know, by the time he gets there, all of these traditions and things have been so built up that people are depending on what they eat in order to define who they are and in order to define their righteousness. Are they righteous because they eat the right things? Are they saved, or are they not saved necessarily, but set apart? Are they part of the chosen people because of what they eat? And how they eat sort of says what group they're in, very much like our diets today. You know, what we eat sort of says what group we're in, and some feel pretty self-righteous about their particular eating styles and eating choices. And here, it wasn't necessarily about being self-righteous, it was about being righteous before God by eating what you were supposed to eat and not eating what you weren't supposed to eat. And Jesus comes along and says, all right, this is enough. You guys have laid these heavy burdens on people, and they are dependent on their diet in order to figure out if they're righteous or not. And Jesus says, it's not about food. These things are not about food. He says, because he explains it to the disciples, he says, because what you eat goes into your stomach, not your heart. You don't eat and it goes right into your heart. It goes into your stomach. And then from your stomach, it goes through the systems and is expelled. Jesus explains that. That's the way that it works. So what you eat isn't going to affect your righteousness. What you eat isn't going to affect your holiness. What you eat isn't going to affect your chosenness. He says, because it doesn't affect your heart. Now there's a problem with your heart, he says, because within your heart already is all of this evil stuff. And he has a litany of different things, basically a sermon series set up there if you wanted to choose all of these different evils to preach against. They're all right there. And he says they exist in the heart of man, not in his stomach. So that doesn't affect it. They exist in the heart. And so what you eat isn't going to change that. It's already there. And the realization that there's evil just sitting, waiting to be done, waiting to be acted upon, waiting to be carried out. It exists in every single human being. And that how we tend to try and control that shows who we are. Do we try and control it through, again, through food, through some sort of system, some sort of process? Are we trying to rein in the evil in our hearts by showing everybody else out there that we're really good people? The things that we do show what's in our heart, and so we want to present to the public that we're good people, that we're righteous people, that we're holy people, that we don't really have this evil in our hearts. But Jesus says, no, it's there. There's evil in there, and it's not affected by outward systems. That evil is not affected by outward systems. So then what do we do? And I ask this question in a lot of the sermons that I preach. What do we do if we have this evil in us and it's not affected by what we eat? It's not affected by what we do. It's not affected by any of the things that we put into ourselves. What do we do with this evil? And the truth is, there's nothing that we can do. I mean, we can do our level best to control it, to keep it in check and not act upon it. And I think the vast majority of human beings do really well at keeping some of the greater things in check. We let some of the little ones slide. We let some of the little, the little things that we do, envy. We let that one slide because, we do get envious of others and the things that they have. And pride, yeah, we let that one slide because sometimes that's a really big deal and we need everybody to know about that. And, foolishness, all of these things, some of them we let slide, other ones we keep in check. But the fact is that there's ultimately nothing we can do about this evil that exists within us. So then we need some help. We need something, someone to do something about this and to make this evil righteous, to take care of it so that we don't end up carrying it basically to our graves. And so Jesus comes. And we just got through with John chapter 6 and the Bread of Life discourse. And we hear Jesus saying that it's not about what you eat, what goes in. And yet at the same time, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I'm the one that you need to feast upon. I'm the bread, this bread, not this manna that only lasted a day, that goes in and sustains you for a day, not this other food that you eat that sustains you for a little while, not that. He says, I'm the bread of life that will sustain you forever, heart, body, and soul. He says, this is what I am. This is who I am. I am the bread that's come by. And what do you do with bread but you eat it, right? So maybe you are what you eat. Maybe what you eat is who you are. Because if we gather as Christians to partake of the bread of life, to celebrate Holy Communion together, to receive the bread of life, Jesus, in our hands and in our mouths and into our bodies, then maybe we are what we eat. Maybe what we eat is who we are. As Christians, we celebrate the gift of Jesus given to us in bread and wine and body and blood of Christ. We partake of that. We participate in the meal together. We eat together. In fact, Jesus says, take, eat, take, drink. So that the instructions are to consume. And so we consume this bread of life. We take it into ourselves and through that bread and through that wine and through the word that's attached to it. It does just what those dietary laws had hoped to do, but failed so miserably at. Jesus fulfills those laws. He becomes the food that makes us righteous. He's the one who goes in and cleanses us from sin. He's the one who, whose food that he has provided himself saves, forgives, grants grace and peace and mercy. He is the one that does just what those Pharisees had been trying so hard to do. And there he is with them saying, it's not about these other things, it's about me. And I love the response that the people give in John chapter 6 when he talks about the bread of life, the bread from heaven, and that he himself is the bread of life. And the people respond by, sir, give us this bread always. Give us this bread always. And so he does. He gives himself always at the table, in communion, in the bread and wine, in with and under, as we say in the Lutheranese, in with and under, that Jesus is there, present in the bread of life. And so it's not just bread. It's not just wine. It is his body and blood. So you are what you eat. Are you taking communion regularly? Is it something that is there for you and is available? What you eat is who you are. As we stand together at the altar, we proclaim with one another, we are together in this. We are brothers and sisters in Christ here, holding out our hands saying, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus does. So yeah, it's not about the food, it's about what, who the food is. Amen.